Our study in the book of Acts is in the 12th chapter, and we have just been noticing this instance where Peter had been put in prison by Herod, the king, who intended to bring Peter out and to put him to death. He had already killed James, with the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he had taken Peter, made him prisoner, and put him into prison to do the same thing. And then we read how the early church continued all night in prayer for Peter. In our last study, we took note of the strange event that happened. It's one of the strangest stories you'll ever read. How Peter was actually brought out of the jail, out of the prison. The prison doors were locked, and he was actually brought out of the prison and set free on the street of the city, and delivered from the prison in which he had been. And then, as we remembered in our last study, Peter came over to the house where the Christians were gathered together praying and knocked at the door. And a young girl by the name of Rhoda ran to the door and heard Peter's voice and came into the house all excited, saying it was Peter, and they told her that she was just crazy, that it couldn't possibly be true. But she constantly affirmed it was true, and then they said it must be his ghost. And this brings us up to verse 16. We're in chapter 12, verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. I don't know whether or not that's so very impressive to you, but you know, it helps me a whole lot. Peter continued knocking. You know, they were all excited inside there, and they were already suggesting that there were ghosts around, and that what Rhoda had seen was just her own imagination, that she is suffering from delusions, that she had a hallucination of some sort. Just imagine things. Knock, knock, knock. Peter continued knocking. You know, that brings you down to earth. And I want to suggest to you, with reference to many things in dealing with the Lord, just about the time when you could almost have the feeling that you're going to get into things that aren't of this world. You get into things that are spiritual, and you begin to think that you should talk and think and go on as if it wasn't down here at all. You need something that keeps knocking. Something that makes you realize that you belong right down here in this world. This company of believers were gathered together to pray for him. He had been condemned to die, and they were there praying for him. And Rhoda hears a knock at the door, and she goes and comes back and said, Peter's out there. They say it's absolutely incredible. And I don't know whether she'd ever went out. She said it was true, and they said it wasn't true. She said it was true, and they said she was crazy. She said, but it is true, and they said she's just imagining things. She's seen a ghost, hearing ghosts, and so on. I don't know how long that would have gone on, but Peter continued knocking. The actual fact of his presence could not be denied. I'm going to mention this. I don't know that I want to make too much of it, but I just want to mention to you that in your dealing with the Lord, you need every now and again to have some actual, practical fact in the world round about you related to the Lord in such a way that you know it's really true. So you believe God will take care of you? Well, I hope that some way, sometime, he'll take care of you in some such way that he'll have somebody there to pick you up and take you to town when you need to go. Something like that. Something you can actually put your finger on and say, this thing the Lord did for me. The psalmist put it this way, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You need some cases in the land of the living. And I think it'll be a poor week that'll go by if somewhere during that week you can't say, in this specific thing, the Lord was with me and the Lord blessed me. Now, I know there are people who make fun of that, but you let them do it. There were people who made fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you bother about people making fun. There are people who make fun of God. They sneer at God too. So don't you let that worry you one single little bit. I'm talking about what's going to be really good for you. And I want you to look around about you and watch it in your life. And you just notice how the Lord deals with you. And keep your eyes and your ears open. God may show you something or you may hear something. And there'll be some knocking going on that will bring you down to earth. And you'll find out that God is actually really taking care of you. The actual fact of the presence of Peter standing out there at the door, knocking on the door, could not be denied. And when they opened the door finally and saw he was actually there, they were astonished. And if you want to say that they were just human beings and didn't know everything, that's quite true. And if you want to say that they should have known better, you don't know what you're talking about. This is beyond human grasp. It happened to them just this way. And of course you can picture how they would have wanted him to come in, and I can just picture how ordinarily they would have wanted him to come into the house, and they'd all had a great celebration. But listen to what you read in verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, keep quiet, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And that's the way he put it. Now, you know, you read it, about the angel said this, the angel said that, and the angel said, follow me, and all that sort of thing. And now this is what he says. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. I'm not going to say that the angel of the Lord and the Lord is the same. They may be. I'm not going to say that. All I'm going to say is that regardless of who this instrument was, regardless of who this messenger was, Peter knew who was back of it. And Peter knew that Almighty God himself had arranged to get him out of that jail. And he told them how the Lord had done this, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. This brings to our mind that this James, this is not the brother of John. This is another James and may well have been the brother of the Lord. You know, the Lord had one of his brothers was named James, and many people think that this is the man who wrote the book of James. Because, you see, that James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod, he wouldn't have had time to write the book of James. So it's altogether possible that this is the man that wrote the book. In any case, Peter said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And I'd like to suggest to you that you take note of the reserve that a man has when he's had dealings with God. If you have had private, personal dealings with God, it'll be all right to keep some of it to yourself, for a while at least, and let it just be your own. That's what he did. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. It so infuriated him to think that Peter was gone. And he went from there, from down from Judah to Caesarea and there abode. The whole thing was very displeasing to Herod the king. So this is the way the story goes. And you have in this whole story such a profound truth, I want to review it for a moment to you, this whole business of Peter being in prison. I want you to notice the praying part of it. Go back again to the beginning and notice it there in chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And I would like to suggest to you that when they were praying, they did not know how God was going to do it. They may not even have known what God was going to do. They knew that Peter was in trouble, and they knew that God was God. They knew that God was able. So they brought their beloved friend and fellow servant into the presence of God in prayer. God handled the rest of it. I want you to notice that the whole church joined. This wasn't just one person. Everybody together. I think you and I ought to think more about that. I'm so afraid that we're missing a lot of this in our own church life. About the only time our whole church gets together is on preaching services, and then they don't all come. But as many as ever come, come at preaching time. And that's very important. And to listen to the Word of God preached is, of course, elemental and fundamental. And all about all that, I can be very, very glad and happy. But I'm not happy when I think that God's people miss this great opportunity to have the blessing of God come upon them in answer to prayer. And the whole church meeting for prayer. The way it is now, the times we have the whole church praying occurs in those moments of invocation at the beginning of a regular church service, and probably the pastoral prayer during the church service, and probably a closing prayer at the end. And that's all good. I wouldn't say anything about that at all. But you know, it would be a wonderful thing if the church would gather together during the week in one cottage or another cottage, in one home or another home, to pray, it would be good. And they prayed in this way continuously. They kept it up. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, without ceasing doesn't mean that there was somebody talking every moment of the time, every minute of the day. That's not the point. Without ceasing means they didn't quit. They prayed and they waited and they prayed and they waited and they prayed and they waited, but they didn't quit. They prayed and they wondered and they prayed and they thought about these things and they prayed and they waited for blessing and they prayed and they studied the promises of God and they prayed and they talked to each other about these things, but they kept praying. That's what I want to get across to you. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. On behalf of the one in peril, it's not important that they should have decided what was going to happen to him. God would decide. They just wanted him to have the favor of God's hand upon him in the affair that was set before him. And that is such a proper thing for us. We may not know what God will do or how God will do it, but we can pray and will be used that way. By the way, for those of you who are listening to this program as we have it here, is this kind of Bible study appealing to you? Do you like to look into these various incidents that happen and have them pointed out and discuss them in this fashion? Well, that's what we tried to do in the Bible for you. We have an idea that the truth is found in the Scriptures themselves, just the way they're written, and we try to understand it. If you're interested in this, and you particularly would like to help it in any way, won't you pray for it? Won't you just simply make it a matter to pray for this program, that it may enter into the hearts of other people, and that people will hear about it and listen to it? You pray for us. We need you every day to continue to remember us in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to what we are doing, to thy word as it goes forth. Add thy blessing to us as we study these things, and show us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.